Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's getting more and more apparent to me that the news agencies in America have just fallen apart completely. And they don't care anymore about what is reality and what is propaganda. So tonight, I'm going to break this down so every one of you will understand what actually happened in the State of the Union address and afterward, and how it affects you and your family. And that is the Talking Points memo. Okay, so President Biden last Thursday got through the address in a good way for him and his party, not for America. It was not a State of the Union address. It was a campaign speech, and he got through it. And we know that because immediately afterward, in about 24 hours after, $10 million rolled in to the Democrats. All right. So the Democratic stalwarts were happy with Biden's presentation. I got a bunch of email from liberal acquaintances, and they were very happy with what Joe Biden did because it gave the Democrats hope. If he had faltered, as I analyzed last week, then it would have been over. But Biden got through it. Now, did he get through it with style? No. He was far too aggressive, far too partisan, didn't admit any mistakes, which is almost impossible to believe, but he didn't. Okay, because he was playing to his own party. He wasn't talking to people in the Republican Party or independents. He was talking to Democrats. And he was going, look, I can do this. I can handle this. I got this, is the cliche. Okay, so it was stunning, but Mr. Biden believes in his heart that he is a fantastic president, that he's one of the greatest presidents this country has ever seen. He believes that, and nobody's going to change his opinion. And his wife believes it, and the sycophants around him in the White House, they don't believe it, but they say it. And the press props him up. But in his own mind, Joe Biden thinks he is the greatest president. Jimmy Carter did too, interestingly enough. There were very few failures as presidents who thought they were failures. Right? Herbert Hoover didn't think he was a failure. I basically go, whoa. All right. So, you know, it's important you know the mindset that he was in. Again, he did not make any mistakes whatsoever. No humility, none. And I wrote in my column on Sunday, what does Joe Biden and Donald Trump, what do Joe Biden and Donald Trump have in common? Neither one of them will admit a mistake ever. And that is the truth. I'll read a letter later on that scolds me for saying that, but I say the truth. Now, the most interesting part of this State of the Union address, which was almost entirely propaganda and socialism, and it was socialism, I'll get to that, was when Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican, began heckling the president. Go.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Appalling. But not for the reason you might think. He doesn't know who Lincoln Riley is. All right. And that goes back to the fact that he cannot absorb information. Joe Biden. He doesn't really know who she is. All right. It's not a real thing to him. So it's Lincoln Riley because he heard something somewhere. That's number one. He makes the mistake of calling undocumented aliens illegal. Okay. Because he doesn't understand that the woke culture has now banished the words illegal alien. Doesn't quite get that, right? Because they didn't tell him that before he went to the speech. But the worst thing is this statement from him. By an illegal, that's right. But how many thousands of people are being killed by legals? That means by Americans. This is fifth grade stuff. Pointing to other bad behavior to justify your bad behavior or whatever you want to do. Now, I've said this, what, 1,000 times? You don't justify bad behavior by pointing to other bad behavior. That's fifth grade stuff. So when I heard that, I went, you know, the man is a simpleton. And I'm not using that in a disrespectful way. He's a simpleton. He cannot grasp the seriousness of the murder of Lincoln Riley. He cannot grasp it. If he could, he would have called a family. It's as simple as that. He didn't call a family. Just like he didn't go to East Palestine when the train went off the track. He didn't go. He doesn't care. If he cared, he would have closed the border 3 years ago. He doesn't. You know, when I say that, people, oh, O'Reilly, you're partisan, you're this, you're that. The man does not care. Okay? How hard is it to have your people set up a call with the Riley family? How hard is that? It's not hard. Okay. So I was horrified by that whole thing. And then, predictably, Nancy Pelosi goes on television. Go.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but it's not a big thing. Okay. What's the big thing about
that? No, I actually wasn't even going to ask about that. I was just going to ask more about the moment. But you do think that he should have said undocumented? That wasn't going to be my question.
Well, we usually say undocumented. Uh-huh. He said illegal. I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big deal.
But more broadly.
Because I think his focus was on the sympathy for the family.
No, it wasn't. If he was sympathetic, the family would have called him. And the woman at CNN, Dana Bash, should have just said that. But never in a million years would she say that, Dana Bash, ever. What's the point of having a television news operation? Okay, so Allison Phillips is the mother of the slain Lincoln Riley. She posted this on the internet. Biden does not even know my child's name. It's pathetic. You're going to say her name, even when forced to do so, at least say the right name. And I share Ms. Phillips's disappointment, okay? To me, it's very clear, but not to my very intelligent liberal friends, because they don't want to believe that Biden is a simpleton, that Biden doesn't care. They don't want to believe it. And no matter how much evidence you present, they're not going to. Now, the second part of the speech that was disturbing to me is the socialism. So Biden wants to raise the corporate tax from 21%, where it is now, to 28%, because the corporations have to pay their fair share. How many times, how many years has this been going on, the fair share stuff? So that's not going to get through unless the Democrats win both houses, which they could, and Biden's reelected. But if it gets through, guess who's going to pay the 7% hike in corporations? You and me. So if you want to buy a car, General Motors is going to pass that tax hike on to the consumer. That's how it works. Biden doesn't know that. He's not smart enough to know it. But all of this fair share BS, and that's what it is. I mean, I run three corporations. I pay an enormous amount of tax. So much tax that if I didn't feel I had an obligation to you, I'd pack it. It's not worth it. That's how much tax I pay living in New York. It's taken more than 50% when you add it all up. And it's clear to me that if Biden is reelected, this country will go on a fast track to socialism, particularly if the two houses of Congress go Democrat. That's what they want. They want the, and what is socialism? So you know, to your friends, the government runs the economy. They call all the shots. That's what it is. All right, now, after the day after the State of the Union, Friday, he goes to Philadelphia, Biden. And he's right back to where he was before the State of the Union. Two unbelievable gaffes. Roll the first one.
In Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
It's just a bunch of, send me to Congress? And he's going to restore Roe v. Wade as the law? No, he's not. Even if the Democrats voted it in, Supreme Court would say, we already told you. It's legal. You can't pass an illegal law. We're the final word. He's so stupid. And then people, oh, yeah, that's right. We'll restore Roe v. Wade. It's a bunch of morons. Okay, second one. Go.
We cut the deficit. And we added more to the national debt than any president in his term in all of history and under Donald Trump. These guys talk about, oh. Too many corporations raise their prices and pad their profits, charging you more and more for less and less.
We added more to the national debt. Yeah, you did. You finally told the truth, but you botched it because you wanted to blame Trump for doing that. But you are the biggest spending president in American history by far on a proportional basis after 3 years.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, I told you we have a good guest, and joining us now from Denver, Colorado, is William Trachman, general counsel of the Mountain States Legal Foundation. He is very, very familiar with the Justice Department. So to me, a simple man just sitting here, I think the Justice Department under Merrick Garland is corrupt. Am I wrong?
Well, I don't usually go out of my way to defend Merrick Garland. He called parents domestic terrorists and is trying to regulate your Second Amendment rights. Here, he came off looking actually relatively well. because Mr. Herr testified that it was the Biden White House that tried to leverage their relationship with Merrick Garland to change his report, to interfere with his findings. And it was Garland who stood up to Biden and gave him all the tools and resources he needed to complete this report. So I was impressed, at least, with Mr. Herr's testimony that Merrick Garland had his back against the Biden administration, which was trying to tinker with his findings and his report.
Okay, but Merrick Garland, as I mentioned, had a reason to do that, because if he went along with the Biden administration, he would have been destroyed. He's already shaky. But the outcome of the Herr investigation, of the FBI Russian collusion investigation, as opposed to the outcome of the Trump document, Mar-a-Lago thing, that doesn't really stack to me. Does it stack to you?
Well, that's the tension here, right? Because you have both political candidates having retained classified documents and shared them. And so why prosecute one but not the other? So Herr made a couple of key distinctions between cooperation and whether the person had really intended to take the documents and share them, that being more provable with Trump, allegedly, than with Biden. He got hung up on this word willfully, whether he could really establish beyond a reasonable doubt that Biden willfully did all these things. But of course, you get no benefit just for being an old person or being a sympathetic person who's lost their son. There is tension there that's irreconcilable. And the only thing that Mr. Herr was able to say was, I couldn't in good faith put this before a jury and be confident that I could prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And that was the end. That was the end of his conclusion.
Okay, but that's not his job. His job is to present the evidence to the grand jury and they'll decide. Now, when you say willfully, I mean, to me, I shred that argument in 30 seconds. Biden had motive. The book, $8 million contract. Wouldn't you say that's motive?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. It goes further. Biden had motive.
Place in history.
So, yeah. Can't say he didn't do it willfully if he has motive. And he took the documents to write the book. Then, against federal law, he shows the documents to a civilian, his ghostwriter. Nobody's disputing that. Okay? So, willfully, he willfully showed the documents to the ghostwriter. That's two willfullies right there. So how can Herr say he didn't willfully do it?
Right. Well, it's not just the money. It's also the...
My question is, how can Herr make the statement that Biden didn't do this willfully when I just proved that he did twice?
Right. So Biden is concerned with both the money and his place in history. But Mr. Herr concluded that he couldn't prove that this was willful beyond a reasonable doubt.
What? It is willful. You could see it's willful. Anybody could see it.
Well, I agree with you, but here the report is a recommendation, and he recommends to Merrick Garland.
All right.
I can't prove this beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's a cop-out. No question.
I can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm not even an attorney. So you come back to the initial question. If it's obviously willful, whereas motive and execution are demonstrable, and the special counsel says he can't prove it is willful, the special counsel's not telling the truth. When you have a position in authority in any department and the person won't tell the truth, that's corruption. Am I wrong?
Well, I don't think Mr. Herr can be classified as corrupt. I think he reached a good faith result that he thought was at
Disagree.
Least... Well, the outcome of his extensive investigation was this. I agree with you that it seems like a strong case on willfully. He went back again and again over the course of a 5-hour testimony saying, look, I'm just writing a report to Merrick Garland, and I don't think that you can prove this beyond a reasonable doubt. I don't think the charges are warranted.
But you could say that about anybody. You could say that about Charles Manson. Okay. So when the evidence is so stunning, all right, that there's motive, there's opportunity, there's execution of a violation of federal law. And then the prosecutor says, even though that's apparent to everyone, I don't think it was willful. That's a corrupt act, in my opinion. Now, this is more of a speculation on my part, but I want to hear your opinion of it. So Merrick Garland knows that his boss, Joe Biden, is a corrupt man. He has to at this point. Okay, with Hunter Biden. Remember, Merrick Garland signed off on the Hunter Biden plea deal that was thrown out by a federal judge. Everybody should remember that. And the plea deal, I'm sure you would admit, is ridiculous. It was a ridiculous deal that Hunter Biden could never again be charged with any crime, even if new evidence was discovered. Would you cede that point, that the plea deal was ridiculous?
Yes, and it was appropriate to throw it out for that very reason.
All right. So Merrick Garland signed off on that. Attorney General of the United States said, that's okay with me. So you add up the evidence that was compiled against Joe Biden in the documents case, and then you go over to the Hunter Biden case, and you got Merrick Garland in charge of both cases. How could you not think that he is not a corrupt man?
Well, like I said from the beginning, I'm not going to go out of my way to defend Merrick Garland. He's again, the one that had his U.S. attorneys investigate whether parents are domestic terrorists. So this is someone who's got a track record of actually having quite a few problems in terms of due process. In this sliver of a role, it sounded like Mr. Herr was defending his lack of intervention in response to the Biden administration. But you are absolutely right to point out these irregularities within the Justice Department about Hunter Biden, about President Trump. So we definitely have a track record of DOJ shenanigans going on. Maybe this was the exception, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe you're right that they ought to have tried more to get to this willfully point and to at least take it to a grand jury and go forward. It is just a recommendation after all, although I don't think Merrick Garland will be going forward against
his own boss. All right, Mr. Shachman, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time. We hope to talk to you again. Thank you. And then when you add into all of this, the Hillary Clinton walk, okay? And that was not under Garland, but to me, with the FBI going into the social media, telling them to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story, I mean, how much evidence do you need? How much to say that the Justice Department of the United States is a corrupt entity? It is. And I don't even think Trump, if reelected, would do anything about it. But I could be wrong there. Maybe he'd bring in a reformer to be attorney general. Bill Barr certainly was not that man, nor was the former senator from Alabama, Sessions. They were not reformers. I don't even know if Trump would go after it. I would.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so let's go to Trump. He goes to Georgia, Rome, and he meets with the family of Lake and Riley. All right, and here's what he said. Go.
Joe Biden has no remorse. He's got no regret. He's got no empathy, no compassion. And worst of all, he has no intention of stopping the deadly invasion that stole precious Lakin's beautiful American life.
All true, in my opinion. Donald Trump met with Allison Phillips. We referenced her before. Jason Riley, Lakin's father, and three siblings. All right. And it was nice of him to do it. It was a smart political move as well. They met backstage before that speech. The guy arrested, Jose Ibarra, 26, denied bail. He's still in Georgia. Now, the final thing on this is that the state of Georgia, which went for Biden in 2020, will now go for Trump. I guarantee that. So Trump has got that state because of this situation. ABC News, which is a leftist operation, not as bad as NBC, but it's left, Their top correspondent is George Stephanopoulos. You know him on Good Morning America. He got into a little spat with Republican Congressman woman Nancy Mace. Go.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim. And I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape.
She kicked his butt. I mean, she kicked little George all over the place. And she's referring to that this woman got all this money and she was yucking it up about how she's going to spend it. But the important point is that Trump was found guilty in a civil court, not a criminal court. Okay. And the reason that Ms. Mace brought that up is because in a civil court, the rules are much more lax. So Trump was convicted on hearsay. Like other people who weren't involved, well, I heard this. Ms. Carroll didn't even know what year it happened. When I saw that, that was the giant red flag for me. I will tell you, and this is absolutely true, there are 10 states in the union that would have convicted Trump on this civil charges, and 40 where the juries would not have. And New York is one of the 10. So now let's turn to the inside Republican situation. As you know, I'm an independent. I'm not associated with any party. Don't really follow the party politics very much unless someone inside either party starts to hurt you. Then I rapidly get involved. The Republican Party is in the middle of a changeover from Ronna McDaniel, who was the chair of the RNC. And now, as of last Friday, you have Michael Whatley and Lara Trump, who is President Trump's daughter-in-law. She joins us now from Washington. So when I heard first that you were going to do this, I went, why would anybody want this job? I mean, I know you want your father-in-law to be back in the Oval Office. That's obvious. But you have a family. You got kids. And this is like 24 hours a day. This never stops, right?
Well, you're right, Bill. I mean, to be honest with you, it's not a job that I ever wanted or a job that I ever really thought I would pursue. But I also never thought that our country would be in such dire straits. And we truly are. I think you really have seen us in a space in America where if this election coming up on November 5th goes the wrong way and Joe Biden ends up with four more years in the Oval Office, I really don't know what kind of country we have on the other side of that. So yeah, I have two young children. They're 4 and 6 years old. I have a lot of things that I'm busy with all the time, but nothing is more important to me than ensuring that their future is set up well and that every American child gets to grow up in the same America I got to grow up in. So when my father-in-law called and he said, would you do this? To be honest with you, I thought about it and I had to think long and hard about it. And then I said, you know what? If I'm the best person for this job and this is the best use of my time over the next 8 months, absolutely, I'm a yes.
Okay. What does the RNC actually do besides raising money? I mean, we know you raise money and you're going to have to raise a lot of it in the next 8 months to compete with the Democrats, which, you know, that's a money donating machine over there.
Yeah.
But what else does the RNC do besides raising money?
Well, look, you don't win the presidency without the support of the Republican National Committee. The reality is, this is a committee that's been around so long. It's obviously one of the two major political parties in this country. And they have an apparatus across the country in every state, in every district around the United States of America. And so once you have a nominee named, which obviously Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party, you need the apparatus of the RNC to help all across the country districts.
You got to be specific now. I mean, okay, to help. All right, got it. But how do you do that? I mean, one of the reasons that Donald Trump lost to Joe Biden to me, and I'm pretty, I've been around like a long time since U.S. Grant, was that the Democrats were better organized in getting out the mail-in ballots and all of this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
So they mobilized more people to the polls than the Republicans did. And they did that in a variety of ways. They had a lot of money from Mark Zuckerberg, okay, hundreds of millions of dollars to hire people to go out. How is the RNC going to compete against that in November?
Yeah, well, the truth is, you're right, Bill. We have not been playing the game the same way. We have been playing checkers, and the DNC and the Democrats have been playing chess. We have to fight fire with fire. And you're right. As Republicans, we've had this notion for a long time. We're going to go out and all vote on Election Day. And it would be great if we had voter ID across the country. It would be great if we had paper ballots. We don't have those things. We know Election Day starts in some states months ahead of November 5th. We have to start talking to people on the Republican side of the aisle about early voting, about mail-in voting.
Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you hire local people to do that like the Democrats do? What is exactly are you going to do?
Well, there's a whole host of different ways. First of all, messaging has to be go vote early. For a long time, we never told people that. We said wait until Election Day. So the messaging is going to change. We are hiring people like legal ballot harvesters all across this country to go everywhere you legally can and harvest ballots.
What does that mean, though, harvest ballots? Does that mean convince people to vote a certain way? Is that what harvest about? What does that mean?
Not on the Republican side. Perhaps on the Democrat side, they may help you fill it out. What ballot harvesting is literally going to an area where you can have a contingent of people, a group of people. You take their ballots and then you take it to a designated location and
so
turn them in.
So they bring their ballots to the VFW hall, and then the RNC has somebody at the hall who takes those ballots physically and brings them to the voting precinct. That's what ballot harvesting is.
Exactly.
And you're going to do that now in a much more aggressive way than you did it 4 years ago. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly right. We're going to turn out low propensity voters. These are people who maybe only vote in one out of every four presidential elections, but every time they will vote Republican. We are going to target these people using a bunch of different software and AI technology that perhaps we hadn't had in the past. But I think the most important thing we have to do is protect the vote. Election integrity is something that every
How do you protect the vote?
Well, look, we have a whole host of different lawyers that are going to be spread out across the country. Some of these are paid. We are also asking for volunteer attorneys to be in every polling location.
And they're
going to
be at the
location.
Actual polling places? Because you know you can't, it's against the law to politic at polling places. So you're going to have people observing?
We can have eyes on the ground. Legally, you can have poll watchers. We will have trained poll watchers. This is something the RNC has never done. These are people who can actually count the ballots going in, ballots going out, handle them, and really assure people that every single legal vote in this country is counted.
Right.
Because, Bill, if we don't have election integrity, nothing else ultimately matters.
You're going to be hiring a lot of people, Lara. But
we sure will.
You got to compete. Our final question. I think that one of the reasons, and you know that I've known your father-in-law a lot longer than you have. One of the reasons he chose you, and I could be wrong, I'm just guessing, he never discussed it with me, is because you are articulate and a good fundraiser, and they could throw you out into Kansas and Montana to raise money. And that's what you're going to be doing a lot of. Am I right?
Oh, I certainly will be raising a lot of money. And I think the reality is there are people across this country who maybe at one time donated to the RNC and have said, look, I don't really know if I trust this organization over the past 5 or 6 years or so. And I think one of the things that has been my focus is to ensure that every penny of every dollar goes to the causes that people who donate care about. Of course, electing Donald Trump at the top of the ticket, but all the way down, we've got to expand our lead in the House, take back the Senate, and make sure we have America First patriots running for all these positions and supporting them.
You're going to be one busy woman in the next 8 months.
I sure will.
If you run into Jeffrey Katzenberg, who's doing what you're doing on the other side, I mean, he's the big money man for Biden. You going to say anything to Katzenberg? Are you going to give him a little jab? What are you going to do?
I would be very nice and very pleasant, because you always want to be nice to people when they're on their way out.
Okay. Lara Trump, thank you very much for taking time. We really appreciate it.
You got it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast, Politics by Faith.
West Point. Now, here's a story I don't understand, and we have tried and tried and tried to get to the bottom of it. So West Point is right up the Hudson River from where I am now, okay? It is the United States Military Academy, okay? Long storied history. The motto is duty, honor, and country, okay? Now, duty, honor, and country what used to be, up until yesterday, okay, on its mission statement. So when you asked about West Point, say you were interested in attending, you'd see duty, honor, country. No more. They took it off. They're still going to keep it as a motto. But why would you take it off? Why? So we asked them, this is a pretty simple question. Why are you doing this? No answer. They answered us, but they say, quote, here's a quote. Duty, honor, country is foundational to the United States Military Academy's culture, will always remain our motto. Defines who we are as an institution, as graduates of West Point. These three hollow words are the hallmark of the cadet experience and bind the long gray line together across our great history, unquote. So why are you taking off all your stationery and everything else? Why? There's no answer. None. It's insane. I don't know why. I can't tell you, well, I think it's because of this, or I have speculation, or I heard. I don't know. I do know that the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, President Biden, could have stopped that. He said, no, we're not doing that. And he didn't. Now, a lot of conservatives say, well, this is woke. Maybe. But I don't know what's offensive in a military academy about duty, honor, country. What? Why would woke people object to that? Duty, honor, country. Even if you are a progressive loon and you hate America, why would you object to that as a mission statement in the U.S. Military Academy? This makes no sense whatsoever. But it's reality. Smart Life, Christy Brinkley. You know her, most successful model of all time. 70 years old now, lives on Long Island. She went to the dermatologist and had a basal cell carcinoma removed. All right. And she is publicizing it. And it was just lucky because she brought her doctor to the dermatologist, and the doctor saw a spot on Ms. Brinkley's face and said, hey, I got to check this out. And it was precancerous. And she had it removed, and now she's telling everybody to go to the dermatologist. Well, who do you know has been doing that? Right here. I've had 10 of them removed from my body. 10. Any one of which could have killed me. I go to the dermatologist once every 6 months now, sometimes even more than that, if I see something popping up, because my father died from melanoma because he ignored it. So I, in Smart Life, I continue, you know, you got to be aware. If you see something that you haven't seen before, there's a mole or something not right, you got to go. You should go anyway. If you're over the age of 50, you should go to a dermatologist anyway, just have a little exam. Okay? Medicare covers mine. So congratulations to Chrissy Brinkley for doing that. Most obese cities, chubbiest people in the USA. Here they are. Most obese, McAllen, Texas, Jackson, Mississippi, Shreveport, Louisiana, Mobile, Alabama, Little Rock, Arkansas. They all have in common, they're in the South. And my theory, and I could be wrong, is so hot in the South that people kind of just stay in the house and they snack. They're not getting enough exercise. But I could be wrong on that, of course. But those are the chubbiest cities. Now, the least overweight cities are Seattle, Honolulu, Boston, Denver, San Jose. All of those places are younger people, outside a lot. Culture is out. And Boston, not as much as the others. Seattle, very active. Everybody's got a bike, you know, but they're the least. So I've just upped my daily routine of walking because the Terra dog was ill. As I told you, Holly, the Terra dog, had a brain tumor removed. And she's okay, stabilized, but she can't do the power walks with me anymore. You have to watch Holly. So now what I'm doing is even more of power walking to get my blood sugar down further, okay? And I do that as many times a week as I can, but minimum four times, okay? Sometimes six. I usually take Sunday off. So if you're not walking, that would be good. Knock the sugar out, walk. You see big changes on the positive side in your life. Here's a final thought of the day. One of the dangers in this country is that the corporate media has now gone 100% left. And here is the proof of that. No conservative, traditional people are booked on late night or morning programs run by the networks. We can't find any. We've been searching. Now, you may remember that I appeared 78 times on late night and morning network shows, mostly promoting the Killing Books. So the Today Show, 8 times, Good Morning America, 6, CBS This Morning, 5, Leno, 16, Fallon, 4, Letterman, 16, Colbert, 5. I don't even remember the Colbert stuff. I blocked it out. Jon Stewart, 13, Jimmy Kimmel, 5, because he's in L.A. All right, total 78 times I was on. Now, for the past 7 years, I can't find anybody. Look, a guy like Mark Levin is a huge bestseller. He going to be on the Today Show? Nope. He going to be on with Fallon? No. Everybody at Fox News, pretty famous, all their frontline commentators. Are they ever booked on any of the networks? No. Never see them. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but this is impossible to not have a blanket. We're not booking any traditional conservative people. That's what they're doing. The networks are doing that to tilt the culture left. And it's worked. Now, I was actually on Saturday Night Live, February 18th, 2012. Roll it.
All right, now, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
You have written a best-selling book on one of our greatest presidents called Killing Lincoln.
That's right.
Now, what can we learn about Lincoln today?
Now, DeAndre, listen up. I was a teacher in Miami, and I know that the times now are a lot like the times during the Civil War because we're a divided nation. It's not as intense as back then, but what we need most now is leadership. We got to pull together, Andrew.
Pulling together.
Yeah. All right. Now, it's going to take the kind of tremendous leadership that President Lincoln had to give this country, all right? That's what we need to get it back on course.
Back on the path, yeah.
Okay, so Lincoln had that leadership, and it was just a tragedy that he died the way he did.
It's a tragedy, baby, and I got to say, ooh, yeah. attack.
Okay, so that'll never happen again in this country. And it's a shame. That was hysterical. I enjoyed my appearance over there, and everybody was nice to me, except one person. I even forget her name, but I'll tell you about it someday. But anyway, you're not going to see that anymore. And it's by design. So the younger generation in America, they don't know anything but left-wing stuff on the network chat shows, morning, afternoon, entertainment. You don't see it anymore. And Letterman was the basic example. When I first went on, Letterman gave me a hard time. I gave him a hard time right back. And at the end, he respected me, said I was one of his best guests. But the network chieftains, the people who run the corporations, said, man, we're going to knock out all traditional conservative people. You're not going to see them. We're going to marginalize them. And they have. I'm going to write my Sunday column on it. You should know about it. It's pretty serious in this culture. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. Again, have a safe St. Patrick's Day, and we'll see you Monday.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.